Our daily program is devoted to the great questions of life and death. What is our destiny as human beings? Are we naturally immortal creatures who only appear to die, but don't really die? What part of us, if any, survives death and lives on in a state of consciousness? There's been a great deal of disagreement among students of religion on these momentous issues. If you've been following our discussion, or if you happen to have tuned us in today, we invite you to stay with us for the next 15 minutes and treat yourself to an opportunity for Bible study. One question has been preoccupying us above all. Are you as a human person death-proof? Do you have residing in you an element of personality, a spirit or soul, which is going to remain conscious and live even after your death? In other words, what is the nature of death according to the Bible? This whole question is often bogged down by a tendency strong in our Western world to approach the Bible with a certain philosophy in mind. In other words, we start with the assumption, which really comes from the philosophy of Plato, that we humans are immortal creatures from birth. Actually, Plato taught that our souls even existed before we were born as individuals. Now, that idea is still around in some circles, though it is obviously not found in the Bible. But a modified form of Plato's thinking often makes itself felt, even in church circles. By that I mean that many sincere students of the Bible assume that man is an immortal creature who possesses an immortal soul, a never-dying soul. If that is so, then death would really only be a death for the body. The soul would go marching on, consciously. Death, on that theory, would just be a transition to another level of conscious existence. But what does the Bible say? We started our study in Genesis, and we discovered a striking fact that the animals and the human beings were created as living souls. Now, if there's nothing immortal about the animals, there's nothing immortal about human beings. That is plainly what the book of Genesis tells us. Man, in that account of the creation, is dust from the ground, animated by the life-giving Spirit of God. Man is a living soul. But so, according to Genesis 1, verses 20, 21, and 24, are the animals. But you may have to get your concordance out to see that this is so. Curiously, some translations hide that fact from you. So we read at the time of the flood that the beasts, the cattle, and the birds went into the ark with Noah in pairs, all flesh in which was the breath of life, Genesis 7, 14, and 15. And later, when the calamity of the flood struck, every living thing in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life died. Genesis 7, verse 22. When God put man together, he made body and soul a single unit. Body and soul are inextricably bound up together. They are part and parcel of each other. And so, as one expert says, when you kick the bucket, you kick it 100%. According to the Bible, the whole man dies, all of him. In a previous broadcast, we talked about the word Hades, which in Scripture means the place to which all the dead go when they die. It's a place of complete inactivity, as we're going to see in a moment. It's a place of darkness, cut off from the hustle and bustle of living which we now experience. It's a place of rest from our labors, and above all, it's a place where the dead sleep. To grasp the Bible's idea about death, we need to get hold of the primary notion that death is like sleep. Early in the Bible, we're introduced to this important idea. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 16, God announced the death of Moses with these words, "You're going to sleep with your fathers." The same description of death was given to David in 2 Samuel 7, verse 14. I quote again, "You will sleep with your fathers." Like a chorus, this picture of death as sleep is repeated over and over in the Old Testament, the Bible of the early Christians. In the case of a whole succession of kings of Israel, we're told that they slept with their fathers. When we come to the story of Job and his suffering, Job expected to sleep when he died. In Job 7:21, he looked ahead to his death with these words, "For now I will lie down to sleep in the dust, and you will seek me, but I will not be." Later, Job declared that man lies down to sleep and does not rise. Until the heavens be no more, he will not awake, nor be roused out of his sleep. And then he said, "Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, in Sheol or Hades." You'll find that passage in Job chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. Now, this beautiful description of death as an unbroken sleep is repeated often in the Bible, and it's surprising that we have not adopted the same vocabulary. You know, the more we use the words of the Bible in our daily conversation, the more we are likely to stick with the teaching of the Bible. Doesn't the good book tell us to meditate day and night in the Scriptures? Then we shall have success. But have we done that? Some today think that we can no longer stay with the words of the Bible, but that is to court disaster. As one biblical expert said, most of the distortions and dissensions which have vexed the church have happened when parts of the Christian community insisted on using words which are not found in the New Testament. End of quotation. We might add also words that are not found in the Old Testament as well. I keep hearing people talking about death as passing on or passing away. Now, what is that supposed to mean? The expression is pretty vague, and it certainly is not from the Bible. The Bible says that people die, or they fall asleep and lie down in the dust of the earth. It does not say that their souls have disappeared to heaven while their bodies are in the grave. Now, there may be some verses in the New Testament which might give that impression, but we must remember that the Old Testament lays the foundation for what Jesus and the apostles taught, and we dare not throw away the plain teaching we find in the Old Testament. Listen to David, the inspired king of Israel, as he speaks about death. "Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death." Psalm 13, verse 3. Nothing there about passing away or passing on. But now listen to the great hope which the believers expressed when they thought about how and when that sleep of death would come to an end. Daniel was given a wonderful promise about the future of the dead. "Many of those who are sleeping in the dust of the ground will awake, some to everlasting life, and some to disgrace and everlasting contempt." Now there's a simple, clear verse to meditate on. Daniel 12, verse 2. Let me repeat that verse again, because it lays out the end of God's great plan to grant immortality to the faithful. "Many of those who are sleeping in the dust of the ground shall awake, some to everlasting life." Now that tells you what the dead are doing, sleeping, and where they are doing it, in the ground. Isaiah has an equally exciting announcement about the future of the dead. He says, "Your dead will live, their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy." You'll find that passage in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 19. We see from these great passages of Scripture that death is described as unconscious sleep, followed by resurrection to joy or sorrow. That is exactly what Job expected when he declared that man dies and lies down to sleep. Until the heavens be no more, he will not arise, nor be aroused out of his sleep. Job 14 and verses 12 through 14. On other occasions, Job spoke of going down into Sheol or Hades or the world of the grave. He called this a home of darkness, and he expected to make his bed there. The location of the dead was a pit, and the dying Job expected in death to be eaten by worms. Job chapter 17, verses 13 to 16. Now, of course, Job died an optimistic man. In another place, he expressed his hope of one day coming back from death. Though he did not understand the detail as it was later revealed in the New Testament, Job believed that his Redeemer would one day appear on the earth and that he would meet him there. But you see, Job's idea of life after death was most unlike what we've often been taught. He had no idea about souls leaving their bodies at death. That notion came along much later. An important question is whether the teaching about souls surviving death without bodies, i.e. disembodied spirits, even belongs in the Bible at all. By no means have we exhausted the biblical evidence for death being like an unbroken sleep. We will resume our investigation tomorrow. There's much more to be discovered about the state of the dead after death. We will look at important passages in the Psalms and the book of Ecclesiastes in our next program. It may be that some of this material is new to you. We invite you to contact us at the address given at the end of this broadcast. We have some written material to offer you for your own study. Challenge us at any point if you have good biblical reasons for friendly disagreement. Our purpose is to throw onto the table for discussion some of the fundamental issues about life and death. There is everything to be gained by searching these matters out in the Bible. Where are you personally on the journey of life? What is your destiny if death should strike without warning? Are you prepared to meet God on the great coming day of the resurrection? These are some of the great questions we're considering in these daily Bible studies. We invite you to be truth seekers with open minds and open Bibles, following the example of those in Acts chapter 17. The Bereans there were commended for their daily examination of the Bible to see if what they were hearing was true. Join us again at the same time tomorrow as we continue casting our searchlight on the Bible in pursuit of answers to the great questions of life and death. Until then, may God bless you in your search for truth.